Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter 28, text number 32.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yadi Sma Pashyati Asat Indriya Artam Nana Anumanena Dirudam Anyat Namanyate Vastutaya Manishi Svapnam Yatha Utaya Chirudadananam. Yadisma Pashyat Yasarindriyartam Nana Nunamena Virudamanyat Namanyate Vastutaya Manishi Svapnam Yototaya Tirodadanam. Yadi, if Sma ever Pashyati, he sees Asat, impure Indriya Artam, sense objects Nana, of their being based on duality Anumanena, by the logical inference Virudham, refuted, and yet separate from true reality, Namanyate, does not accept Vastutaya as real, Manishi, the intelligent man, Svapnam, of a dream, Yada, as if. Uthaya, waking, Tirodadhanam, which is in the process of disappearing. Translation in purport by the followers of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta T. Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. Although a self-realized soul may sometimes see an impure object or activity, he does not accept it as real. By logically understanding impure sense objects to be based on illusory material duality, the intelligent person sees them to be contrary to and distinct from reality. In the same way that a man awakening from sleep views his fading dream. Purport. A sane person can clearly distinguish between a dream experience and his real life. Similarly, a manishi, or an intelligent person, can clearly perceive polluted material sense objects to be creations of the Lord's illusory energy and not actual reality. This is the practical test of realized intelligence. Vandeha. Shri Guru Srijata Madakamala Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha. Sri Rupa Sagrajata Sagana Raghunatan Vita Sadaita Zavaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Ladita Sri Vishakanvitamscha. So, the Srimad Bhagavatam clearly states that it distinguishes reality from illusion for the welfare of all. This is a very significant point. Reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. What does that tell us? That tells us that this state of illusion is not a well position. It's an very inauspicious position to be in. To be in this illusioned condition at the present moment is not a very good position to be in. It's very, very inauspicious. But the Bhagavatam is very mercifully giving us the light of transcendental knowledge. Tamasima Jyotirgama. Do not remain in the darkness, come to the light. The Vedic wisdom, specifically the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, so wonderful literatures, that they can bring us out of this very inauspicious condition of taking that which is unreal to be real and that which is real to be unreal. The present moment, we are taking this pleasure, this indriya pleasure, pleasure of the senses. We are taking this to be our actual enjoyment. So what is that enjoyment? It is maya sukaya. It is not real enjoyment. It is shadow enjoyment only. If we bring you prasadam, nice, wonderful feast plate with so many varieties of preparations, and your shadow is beside you, and we offer that prasadam to your shadow, will you be very happy? Is it? So this is what we are doing. Our satisfaction is we're trying to satisfy the shadow of our actual identity. This material body is the shadow of our actual identity. It is not the actual identity. We are trying to find happiness by satisfying the shadow. You understand? If I feed your shadow, will you get nourished? No, you will not get nourished. You see. You will starve. If we simply feed your shadow and we never feed you, you will die from starvation. You see. So therefore, at the present moment, this entire material civilization is dying because they are not getting the actual satisfaction. There was even that popular song, I can't get no satisfaction. They don't get satisfied, that's the thing. They don't get satisfied. So, Bhagavatam, the book Bhagavatam, the person Bhagavatam, the spiritual master, you see these great Vedic sages, they are bringing us back to our senses, our actual senses. It's interesting, that saying, they're saying you have to come to your senses. But we're coming to the wrong senses, you see, the material senses. But if you come to your actual senses, that is your spiritual senses. That is your actual senses. These material senses, they are covering them. They are not the actual senses. At the present moment, we are perceiving through these material senses, and therefore our vision is distorted. We're not seeing reality as it is. We are seeing reality as it is not. We are seeing unreality because we are perceiving through our senses, which are presently covered with lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. That's how we're seeing right now, through the colored lenses. These six colorations are clouding our vision. Therefore, try as we may and try as we might, we'll still end up being very uptight. We cannot become satisfied. Because we're trying to enjoy artificially, feeding the shadow of the self. So our philosophy is, don't feed the shadow, feed yourself. Don't try to enjoy the senses, they're not you. They may appear to be very attractive because that is the nature of the senses. Instant gratification. Shreya and Treya. Treya means that which is instantly enjoyable. Yes, some sense gratification. Let's go for it, you see. Instantly enjoyable. But because that is not the actual nature of the self, therefore there is no satisfaction. There is simply frustration, that's all. Simply frustration. That's all. So therefore it's described in this wonderful, wonderful verse, Manishi. The intelligent person, the Manishi. He is coming out of this reality. He has taken shelter of the bona fide spiritual master. He has taken shelter of the path of bhakti. He has taken shelter of the great sages. He has taken shelter of the great scriptural wisdom of the world, of the Vedas. And he's coming out of this dream state. He's coming back to reality. He doesn't want to go back to that dream state. He understands that that dream state is nightmare, even though it may appear to be pleasant, is nothing but nightmare. So, he makes every impossible endeavor to come out of that sleep. He knows that he's being cheated by the material energy. What's the material energy called? Inferior energy, because it is inferior. It is inferior. The superior energy, that is the spiritual energy. So why would you want something inferior when you can have something superior? That is Krishna consciousness. So, the intelligent person, he shuns this material energy like the plague. Get out of here, Maya. I have danced with you for millions and billions of lifetimes. And where has it gotten me? Another damn rotting material body. I'm sick of it. I'm tired of it. I don't want it anymore. I'm out of here. I don't want this nonsense anymore. Now I just want pure bhakti. That's all. I want to come back to my actual identity as confirmed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jivara Swarupahoy Krishnara Nityadas. The constitutional position of the living entity is that he is the eternal servant of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya has so mercifully given this knowledge to us through the medium of the Goswamis and their followers. So mercifully. If we can just grab a hold of this mercy of Lord Chaitanya, now we are drowning in the ocean of birth and death. He has thrown us this life buoy of transcendental knowledge. If we can just grab onto this knowledge, I am the eternal servant of Krishna. That's who I really am. I'm not this rotting body. I am the eternal servant of Krishna. If we can reaffirm that principle, every day, at every minute, with every thought, with every word, with every deed, then you know what's going to happen? We're going to be blissed out. We're going to be swimming in an ocean of nectar at every minute. Wow. This is the real wow factor, you see, Krishna consciousness. Everyone's looking for that wow factor, but they're only getting the shadow wow. We're getting the real wow. Krishna bhakti. Why? Because that's who we are. We are the servants of Krishna. We're not these bodies. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's not some mythology. Krishna is real. He's the source of everything. He's emanating Melbourne from his transcendental body at this very minute. If it wasn't for Krishna, you know, it wouldn't be there. That's it. Matak parataram nanyat kin chirasti dananjaya mayi sarvamidam pravatam sutre mani gana iva. This city of Melbourne, it is so many pearls on the thread, and that thread is Krishna. Pull out Krishna, Melbourne is finished. Krishna is a thread holding the whole thing together. Krishna is holding together this entire material existence. The whole reality is being held together by Krishna. And someone says, well, why is Krishna there? Krishna is there because just for his own pleasure. They say, well, how did Krishna get there? Well, he's always there. That's the meaning of God. He has no origin. Anadir adir govinda sarva karana karanam. Krishna has no origin. He is the origin of everything. You say, well, where does he come from? You're asking the wrong question. You see? Because God means that person who is without origin. If he has an origin, he is not God. The origin, original source, that means that which has no other origin. Anadir. So, there must be an origin, otherwise how are we here? Do we have any experience that something comes out of nothing? Well, that Dr. Stephen Hawking, he's trying to convince us that yes, this universe came out of absolutely nothing. I call him Dr. He Hawkings. He Hawking. Like the ass, you know. So, what's scientific about this idea that, you know, everything comes out of nothing? Is there anything scientific? They applaud him as the greatest scientist in the modern day world, you see. His book sold 10 million copies. Can you imagine? 10 million copies he sold of his book. And he says everything comes out of nothing. But doesn't science mean observation, experiment, and hypothesis? You're supposed to base it on actual experiments. They're supposed to base their theories on actual evidence derived from experiments. Where's the experiment where they took something and they took nothing and they got something? Is there any experiment that any scientist has ever done? They've taken nothing and they've gotten something out of nothing? Show me one scientist who's ever been able to do that. In any laboratory, anywhere in the world, they've taken nothing and gotten something out of it. Not right, no. Show me an empty pot. Pop popcorn out of an empty pot, and then I'll accept your theory, Dr. Hawkins. Take an empty pot, put it on the stove, turn on the flame, and let popcorn come out of your empty pot. And then we will accept. we see that whenever there is popcorn, there were kernels, and those kernels exploded, and the popcorn came popping out of the kernels, you see. It didn't come out of nothing. So, this material existence, we can understand, does not come out of nothing. It comes out of something, which came out of something, 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 that original something from which everything comes from. That is the origin. That is the source. And this word God has been used to describe that. We don't have to say God. We're not hung up on the word God. We can say the origin, the source, or the absolute truth, as Prabhupada has used that term. This describes that source of all existence. So, what is the nature of that source then? That we can understand. That we can analyze. Just like from a gold mine, gold is extracted. Can you get gold out of a goldless gold mine? No, it is not possible. If you're going to get gold out of a gold mine, that gold mine must possess gold, otherwise you cannot get gold out of it. So, there are so many persons coming from the existential mine, the source of existence. Therefore, that original, since persons are coming out of the existential mine, therefore that existential mine, that source, that absolute truth, that summum bonum, that origin, must necessarily, this is the gold mine, must necessarily possess gold. That existential mind must necessarily possess personality. Otherwise, it cannot emanate personality or persons. So, if it possesses personality, why are we calling it it? That which possesses personality is a person, and therefore we do not refer to it as it, but we refer to it as a person. And that is Krishna, or God. Supreme Person. So this science of Krishna consciousness, it can be understood very logically, very philosophically, very scientifically. And it can be confirmed by experimental endeavors. Just like when I was a kid in high school, the chemistry teacher taught us H2O equals water. You combine two parts of hydrogen with one part of oxygen, then you will get water. And my dear students, now we will go to the laboratory down the hall and we will do it. Every one of you will do this, and here's your test tube, here's your hydrogen, here's your oxygen, now here's what to do, and lo and behold, we did it, and what do we have in that test tube? Wow. Water. Did you do it in your high school? We had water in the test tube. Wow, it's real. H2O really does equal water. You see? So in the same way, you see, we have a test tube. That's called consciousness. And if you will take these ingredients, you see, if you will chant this mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That's the hydrogen. And what's the oxygen? Love. If you chant it with love, chanting it without love, it won't work. But if you take the mantra, Hare Krishna mantra, and you chant it with love, bhakcha. If you chant it with love, then what do you get in your test tube? Krishna. Krishna will appear, you see, in due course. When you become very advanced in your practice, as we studied in our retreat, we studied the steps from Shraddha to Prema. When you achieve the Prema stage, Krishna will actually appear there, and you will not only see Him, but you will have constant, personal, direct, loving exchange with Krishna, within and without. And now you will experience. It won't be blind faith. Well, I think Krishna is God. No, you'll meet Krishna. You'll be able to see how everything is emanating from Him, including yourself. So that is the position, you see. That is the science of bhakti. And even though we are presently simply neophytes on the pathway, we have heard from these great realized scientists, Mahajano Yena Gatasapanta, who could see Krishna at every minute, We have learned from these great personalities like His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi, Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, our most beloved founder Acharya. We have heard and learned, and we have seen such personalities. They are not like anyone of this world. Their qualities, their character, their demeanor, their activities are unparalleled in history. So, by seeing these great personalities who were teaching us this science, it gave us great faith in this process. And we took up this process under their direction, and we experienced amazing results, amazing transformations of our consciousness. And we knew that if we continue following their instructions, we will get more and more amazing transformation of consciousness, and that is indeed what has been happening. If one takes up this process year after year, keeps following it, following the principles, no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, chanting 16 rounds, having wonderful loving relationships with the devotees, if one continues in this way, then there's nothing to stop you from realizing the absolute truth in full, from going through all the stages, anatta nivritti, nishta, ruchi, asakti, bhava, and prema. There's nothing to stop you. You just have to follow the principles, chant the rounds, and then you will see God directly. That's the thing. Prabhupada ordered me that I must become qualified to see Krishna face to face. So, as a disciple, it is my duty to carry out the order given by my spiritual master. It may seem impossible. How could some struggling neophyte like me, ever see God face to face? But Prabhupada's order is there, and with the order of the spiritual master comes the potency to successfully carry out that order. So in this way, if we follow this process with great faith, with great determination, with great enthusiasm, and with patience, because it's going to take some time. We have been rotting in the cycle of birth and death for countless eons. So it's going to take some time to get purified, especially that anatta nivritti stage. It's a very tough stage, a very, very tough stage. It's going to take some time to get this dirt out of the heart. So we have to persevere. We have to have that determination, like that little sparrow who was determined to dry up the ocean to get back her eggs. We have to be determined to push through in spite of all obstacles, to keep that determination, to never give up. Whenever Maya tries to allure us, says, get out of here, Maya. I don't want you. I don't need you around here. Just leave me alone. You see, I'm Prabhupada's man, and that's it. I'm sticking with this process. You see. So if we have this determination, then the rewards are very, very great. There are greater rewards than any material achievement, any opulence you could ever get in this material world, even to the point of being Brahmanji, the chief demigod of this entire material existence. These kind of rewards are available for one who becomes very serious to awaken the Krishna consciousness within their heart. So why should we be allured by some cheap trinkets of this material existence? Why should we be allured by wealth, by women, or by followers? Simply, we should cultivate this pure devotional service, pure bhakti. And then we are called, then we are really known as manishi, or intelligent, as described in this book. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Okay?
I was going to say, before you asked what scientists did, that campus is a supreme scientist, Krishna.
He claimed to take something out of nothing? Let's hear what the Joker has claimed. Go ahead. Tell me what is this Joker scientist? What is his claim for getting something out of nothing?
Krishna is the supreme scientist, the only one.
Krishna is the supreme scientist.
Oh, well, Krishna. Oh, if you're talking Krishna, then yes, Krishna can do anything. That's right. I thought you were talking about some material scientist making that claim.
Another point I wanted to make, or ask, huh? The question was, you said about the illusory energy coming out of the darkness.
I can't quite hear. Can you hear what he's saying? Can you make out what he's saying? Maybe I should have you come over here for a little deafness compensation here. Go in the right ear.
I was saying, even the illusory energy that we're talking about in the darkness is still within Krishna, because Krishna is everything. Krishna created everything.
That's right.
Even when we're in the darkness or we're in illusion, we're still within Krishna. It's just that we're not remembering the parent Krishna. That's the only difference, because we're covered. But we're never outside of Krishna.
That's a fact. Our conscious, we don't realize it, but we are. That's right. You can never really escape Krishna. That's a fact. We're totally wrapped up in Krishna at every minute, because there's nothing exists except Krishna and his energy. And Krishna's energy is Krishna also. And Prabhupada very wonderfully states, there is nothing that exists except for Krishna, but nothing is Krishna save and except his original primeval personality. So it's a fact, we're existing within Krishna at every minute, and you can't escape that. It's a matter of whether are you conscious of it or you're not. That's all.
And the third thing is, I wanted to add one word to the scientific formula of Krishna consciousness.
Okay.
That was left out is surrender.
What?
Surrender.
That was the word you left out.
But my dear Prabhu, love means surrender, and surrender means love. So I don't want to. I'm not going to debate it with you. Any questions? Any questions? Yeah.
Krishna is present. How can Krishna be present everywhere at the same time he's aloof from everything?
Yes. How can Krishna be present everywhere and at the same time be aloof from everything? This is one of those, you could say, paradoxical aspects of our Krishna consciousness philosophy. It appears to be contradictory, but it is nonetheless true. Krishna is everywhere, but at the same time, he's not everywhere. One example that Prabhupada gives, which makes it very easy to grasp onto it intellectually, is the sun. The sun, by its shine, is present everywhere. In the morning we say, oh, here comes the sun. Because the sunshine has now appeared in Melbourne. We say, oh, the sun has now come to Melbourne. But has the sun globe come to Melbourne? No. If the sun globe were to appear in Melbourne, everyone would be killed instantly. You see. So when we say the sun has now appeared in Melbourne, we are saying the sunshine has appeared in Melbourne, not the sun globe. So the sun has different aspects. The sun is present in the form of the globe, and it's also present in the form of the sun, It's the sunshine. Sun globe and sunshine. So Krishna is present in the form, there is the Krishna, the original form of Krishna, Krishna Rupa, and there's the Krishna light also, the shine of Krishna, his energy. So just as the sunshine is the sun, that energy of Krishna is also Krishna. But even more potent than the sun, that original Supreme Person who's situated in Goloka Vrindavan, simply absorbed in his transcendental pastimes with Radharani and the gopis, the cowherd boys, Nanda Maharaj, Jasoda Mata, the cows, the calves, the flutes, the butterflies, the bees, the trees, etc. That Supreme Person is also expanding himself in the heart of every living entity, is the Supersoul, Shirodakashai Vishnu. And for those who are devotees, he doesn't appear as stuff that try to focus on what we're saying. It's more important. What we're saying is more important than playing around them. This will get you more nectar. You want the nectar, right? So if you just focus on what you're saying instead of playing around with your hands, you'll get more nectar. I promise you. Just try it. Just focus completely on what I'm saying, and you come out of the class, you go, yeah, Sankarshambhu was right. There's more nectar in this transcendental knowledge than there is just playing around on the floor with my fingernails. Just try it. Just make an experiment. Just hold your fingers still, sit up and listen, and you'll go, he was right. So anyway, So anyway, that Supreme Person is simultaneous, yes, as I was explaining, in the heart of every living entity is Sri Radhakrishna Vishnu. But in the devotees, no, he appears as Shamsundar, that original Supreme Person. So Krishna has the ability to be in one place, completely aloof from everything, at the same time be everywhere at the same time. It's inconceivable how he can do that, but actually it's a fact. Krishna is within everything, and he's without every, within and without at the same time. That is the inconceivable nature of the Supreme Lord. It's realized by those who develop their loving feelings for him. Although intellectually it's not really graspable. But if one develops one's loving feeling for Krishna, you can actually feel how Krishna is present. You can actually see how he's present gradually as we wake up from the dream described here. See, Krishna is actually there. But because of our dream, we cannot see him. We're seeing the images of the dream state. But as we wake up from this dream, then gradually we will see how Krishna is present. Yamang pashyati sarvatra sarvang chamai pashyati tashahang na pranashami sa chamena pranashyati. The one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. So that love will bridge the gap between where we are now and where we want to be. That loving feeling will bring us back to the direct contact of Krishna. Any other questions? Yes, Prabhu?
You're talking about being enthusiastic and determined. But we also have to be patient. So it seems quite easy to develop enthusiasm.
How to be patient? Well, Prabhu, if you're enthusiastic but you're not patient, that means you're in the mud of passion. If you're patient, you're not enthusiastic, then you're in the mud of ignorance. So we need that combination of passion, enthusiasm and patience, and that puts us in the mud of goodness. It's a very important balance. We have to have enthusiasm, same time we have to have patience. So Prabhupada always gives the example of a woman who gets married. She cannot expect the next morning after her wedding that she'll have a baby. She wants a baby. But can she chastise, "My dear husband, we've been married for 12 hours. How come I'm not pregnant yet?" You see? She has to be patient. She has to understand, now I have a husband. So baby will come in due course. It is a natural thing, but baby will come. So we have to have that faith, that knowledge, that understanding, that even though presently I'm not really where I want to be spiritually, I'm struggling right now with battling it out with the senses. You see? If I stick with this process, then in due course of time, that glorious day will come when I finally conquer these senses and I become solidly fixed in Krishna consciousness. So we should be enthusiastic even though we're not getting the full result yet. Just like when you bake a cake, for example, you may be very enthusiastic to bake the cake, but do you have the cake immediately? No. You have to mix the ingredients. You have to put it in the oven, the proper temperature. You have to wait the allotted amount of time. Then you'll get very nice cake. So if you demand, "No, I must have it immediately, otherwise I give up my enthusiasm," that's not very... You're not manishi. You're not intelligent. An intelligent person understands that good things take time. For any good thing, I have to be patient. So since this is the ultimate good thing, let me be very patient and maintain my enthusiasm even while I'm having to wait. Prabhupada explains in his Vyasa Puja homage to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur that he's willing to wait for many, many tens of millions of lifetimes, suffering the reactions for his past misdeeds, with the one request that he not forget Krishna. So the devotee is willing to, he's willing to undergo millions and billions of lifetimes as necessary to achieve the supreme goal. There's a nice example of this in Chaitanya Leela. There was that one devotee, Mukunda Dutt, very good singer. So he liked to sing with the Mayavadis also, the kirtan to the Mayavadis. So Lord Chaitanya said, oh, he's associating with the Mayavadis, he's banned from my association. I don't want anybody who's associating with Mayavadis in my association. So the devotees gave the word to Mukunda Dutt that he was now banned from Lord Chaitanya's association, and it was like a knife going to his heart. He was just so devastated. He practically lost his life. He could not keep body and soul together. He was totally devastated. And the devotees went back and they begged Lord Chaitanya, he's practically leaving his body. It's so horrible. It's in the most horrible, wretched condition. Please allow him to come back, Lord Chaitanya. Please, please, Lord Chaitanya, allow him to come back. He said, I will not allow him to come back for 10 million lifetimes, you see. So they went to Mukunda Dutt and they said, We asked Lord Chaitanya, but he said, you can't come back for 10 million lifetimes. And the devotees were so dejected. This will be the end of him now. He won't be able to handle this. He said, 10 million lifetimes. Haribo! The Lord will see me. The Lord will see me. He became ecstatic, and the Lord said, let him come back immediately then. So he was willing to go undergo 10 million lifetimes in separation, but knowing that in due course he would begin reuniting with his beloved Lord, you see. So there's an extreme example of someone who was willing to undergo 10 million or whatever the number was, lifetimes in separation, but knowing that in due course he would be reunited with his beloved Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we have to, in this way, understand that whatever difficulty I'm having now, this is for my good. This is Lord Chaitanya's kindness, you see. Krishna's kindness. Tatte nukam kam su samikshamano punjanna evatmakatam vapakam tagvabhapur vidadang namaste jiveta yo mukti pade sadaya bhak. My dear Lord, those devotees who are constantly awaiting your causeless mercy to be bestowed upon them while they patiently continue suffering the reactions for their past misdeeds, constantly offering you respectful obeisances from within the innermost cores of their hearts, are certainly eligible candidates for liberation. Indeed, they've already got their ticket back to Godhead right there in their hand. Liberation is their rightful claim, you see. So, if one understands that actually I'm getting Krishna's unlimited mercy right now, even in my struggling condition, still undergoing the reactions from my past misdeeds, I'm getting the unlimited, unfathomable mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Krishna at this very minute. So the devotee learns how to feel satisfaction in the present moment, because actually that's where the nectar really is. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, forget the past that sleeps and ne'er the future dream at all, but act in times that are with thee, and progress thee shall call. So we have to learn this is the sweetest moment, the most opportune moment, right now. It's not out there in the future. It's right here, right now. The unlimited nectar is right here, right now. I just have to connect with Krishna. I don't have to wait. I just have to connect with Krishna right now. And the waiting means it's going to take me some time to perfect that art of connection. But actually, if you're enthusiastic, if you're impatient, in one sense, that's very good. To be impatient, in one sense, is very good. Because Rupa Goswami says, Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita mati kriyatang yadi kutopalabhyate tattalayang apimulyam ekalam janma koti sukritarina labhyate. He says pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness cannot be attained even by patiently undergoing penances and austerities for hundreds and thousands of lifetimes. It can be had only by paying one price, that is tattalayam, intense greed to attain it. And if it is available somewhere, one must purchase it without delay. So, if you're impatient, Prabhu, that's great. Go for it. If the bhakti and Prabhupada is made available right here, this is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is the Namahat, the marketplace of the holy name. This is the place where you can get Krishna bhakti. So if you don't want to wait, just come here, have that purchase, have the money in your hand. What is that purchase price? Shraddha. You bring a fistful of shraddha in your hand and put that money on the table and take that prema, you see. Gather as much shraddha as you can by any method of big bar or steel. Get as much shraddha as possible and put that money on the counter and say, Lord Nityananda, I want the prema right now. Okay, any other questions? Yes. Well, you have to be very strong. I mean, you have to give the body what it needs to be healthy. But the reality is, let's face it, our tendency is to overindulge the senses. That's our tendency, to overindulge, to give them more than they need. Our tendency is to give the senses more than we need for our health. So when the senses are screaming like that, you have to scream louder. You see? The senses say, give me gratification. You say, no! You got to outshout the senses. No matter how loud they scream, you got to scream louder. Give me sex. Give me food. Give me ego gratification. No, no, no. You just got to tell them no. Your senses are no longer the boss, Mataji. Now you are the boss. You understand? You got to take the leading position. You've been a dancing dog in the hands of your material desires, your material senses, for thousands and millions of lifetimes. It's brought you nothing but trouble. So now you have the opportunity, being empowered by Guru, Krishna, and Vaishnavas, you have the opportunity now to take control. Then you're no longer the servant of your senses, now you are the master. You give them as much as they need for health, and besides that, you don't give them anything. Your love is for Krishna now, not for those damn senses. You understand? Yeah. Okay, any other questions? Okay, we'll stop here, and we thank you all very much for your participation in this glorious movement. It was Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Ki Jai. Flood the whole world with Krishna Bhakti, Ki Jai.
Yeah.